Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Continue the summer sermon series. I've been enjoying this. I hope that you have too, called Amazing Old Testament Stories of Faith. And the one we're going to look at today is probably the most popular one of all. We're going to take the first of two looks at a very popular man in the Old Testament whose name was David. Today's title is David, a Hero Who Was a Giant Slayer. And you know this story. It's about a shepherd boy named David who slayed that giant Goliath. Now, this is a story that almost everyone knows about, whether they've ever been to church or not, whether they know very much about the Bible or not. A 3,000-year-old one-on-one contest that is still used to summarize great upsets today. I mean, everyone loves a story where the underdog wins against all odds, and that's what this story is. The movie theaters have had some great stories of upsets. I mean, who couldn't help cheering when Rocky Balboa fights Apollo Creed? And I still remember at the end of the fight, "Yo, Adrian, I did it!" I still remember that. When Rudy runs out to the field at Notre Dame, or when the small school of Hickory wins the state Indiana basketball championship, a true story in 1954 that was made into the movie Hoosiers. Underdogs and upsets are powerful and they're inspiring. Today, the story of the underdog David defeating the giant Goliath is still very inspiring because we all have what might be described as giants in our lives that must be overcome and defeated. Now, before we get into this story found in 1 Samuel 17, let me ask and answer this question. I want to talk about what a giant is. Now, I'm not talking about a great big guy like Goliath was. I'm talking about a giant that may come into your life. A giant is someone or something that stands in your way, that keeps you from living the life that God intended for you to live. That's what it is. Someone or something keeping you from having a life full of joy, satisfaction, the abundant life that God wants us to live. Now, maybe your giant is a relationship issue in your marriage, a family member or a friend. Maybe your giant is an addiction, alcohol, drugs, or something else that seems to have a death grip on you. Maybe your giant has to do with some problem you're dealing with, your parents, your health, the health of a loved one, a financial issue. You're not sure how you're going to get through this. And my guess is, even if you are not now or have not faced a giant in your life, you will. And I'm confident that most people listening understand what I'm talking about. You know what's in your valley. We can grow weary from all the fear and the doubt, and we're tired of seeing our dreams fade away and our hope for a better way dimmed. So I want you to think about this. God brought you here today so a guy named David can tell you how he stepped into his valley 3,000 years ago, and in one incredible moment that makes all those sports examples I just mentioned seem like a defeat in comparison, he took out that giant in his life. Because I'm convinced that God had Samuel put this event in his word so that we could discover how we can defeat our giants and live as God intended for us to live. So are you ready to be reminded of this hero who was a giant slayer? I love this story. Before we do as we always do, however, let's ask God for his help as we open up his word and share this incredible, amazing story of faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for our time together, and we know that you are here with us. And as we come together, Lord, we are thankful for your word. You used 40 men to write this over a 1,600-year period, and you led them and inspired them to write what we have, that we might be helped by some of these stories like David and Goliath. Lord, use me today to help us all face our giants, and when we face them, Lord, help us to overcome them. And Lord, we're going to have them in our life. And so I pray for someone here today that's really struggling with an issue, something that's keeping them from living the way you want them to live. I pray this will be an encouragement and a help to them. And if nothing else, Lord, will give us some things that we can take with us so that when those giants come, we'll be able to overcome. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Give us your wisdom and understanding, and we will give you all the praise in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Two main points I want to share today about this story of David and Goliath. First, as I always do, and you know this, we're going to talk about the background, and I'm also going to include the beginning of the story. So this is the first main point. 1 Samuel 17 begins with two armies, the Israelites and the Philistines. They're encamped on two mountainsides with a valley between them. Now this valley, known as Elah, was not a narrow ravine. It was a pretty vast canyon. It was about a mile wide. It had a small stream bed in the center of the valley, and that's where David actually got his five smooth stones. On one side of the center of the valley was the army of Israel, and on the other side was the army of the Philistines. These two armies are about to engage in battle. Before the signal to charge was given, something unusual occurred. I'm going to give you my paraphrase of verses 4 through 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines send out Goliath, this giant of a warrior who was 9 feet 9 inches tall. Big guy. The NBA would love this guy. So he's there. And his sheer size wasn't the only thing that was impressive about him. He had this incredible suit of armor. The Bible says his armor weighed approximately 150 pounds. And the head, just the head of his spear, weighed 15 pounds. So just imagine how frightening it would have been to take on a giant of his size protected by this amount of armor. Now I want you to notice what this gigantic warrior did. He began to taunt the Israelite army. I want to pick things up in verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. He, meaning Goliath, stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle formation? Am I not the Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man as your representative and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I have defied the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man so that we may fight together." He's ready to fight. He's ready to take on anyone from the army of Israel. But look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and very fearful. Now you can understand that. What Goliath was proposing was a common tactic referred to as a representative battle, a one-on-one fight. And whoever won, his army would be victorious. Whoever lost, his army would be defeated. And so Goliath issued a challenge for a one-on-one fight, but not just once. No. His challenge was issued every morning and every evening for 40 days, according to verse 16. And sadly, no one from Israel's army answered the challenge. Well, meanwhile, about 10 or 15 miles away up in the Judean mountains in this little town that we call Bethlehem, there was a teenager named David who was keeping his father's sheep. He was too young to be fighting in the army. And I'm guessing at this point, David had no idea what was going on between the Israelites and the Philistines. So in the next few verses, we read that Jesse sent his youngest son, David, to the battlefield to take supplies to his three oldest brothers who were in the army. So David greets his brothers. He sees Goliath, and he hears him issue another challenge. But look at verse 24, which says, "When all the men of Israel saw the man, Goliath, they fled from him and were very fearful." So the stage is now set. Goliath has been doing his thing twice daily. David arrives on the scene, hears him. That 44th first morning of Goliath's challenge would be the last day of his life, and it would be the first day of David's life as a national hero. But try to imagine with me what must have been going through David's mind as he gets there. He'd never seen this giant. He had never heard his challenge. He looks across the battlefield and sees this giant of a guy encased in all this armor, shouting out threats and defiance, cursing God. And I'm sure from what we're about to read, what was going through his mind is, no one talks that way about the God of Israel and lives to tell about it. He was not impressed by this giant, nor was he intimidated. So he says in verse 26, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he has dared to defy the armies of the living God?" Well, the next thing that happens to David's what we might call the older brother syndrome. Verse 28 says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David and said, 'Why is it that you have come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I myself know your insolence,'" that word means conceit, "'and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle.'" So Eliab tears into his youngest brother, insulting him, embarrassing him. And I love David's response in verse 29. "But David said, 'What have I done now? Was it not just a question?'" He's getting reamed on by his older brother. "All I'm doing here is asking a question," he says. Now, let's finish the background and first part of the story by looking at verses 31 and 32. "So when the words that David spoke were heard, they informed Saul," that's King Saul, "and he," Saul, "sent for him, David. And David said to Saul, 'May no one's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.'" So David tells King Saul, "Here I am. Send me. I'll fight this giant." Now, from the verses what we just read and the ones that I'm about to read, I want to share the second main point. That's the rest of the story and some keys for defeating our giants in our lives. If we're going to defeat the giants in our lives, first thing, we must face our giants. Now, you might say to yourself, "Well, Sam, that's pretty obvious. We're going to have to face our giants when they come." But I want you to notice here in the story, for 40 days, the entire Israelite army refused to face Goliath. So by the time David arrives on the scene, Goliath had already challenged them 80 times. For 40 straight days, God's people began and ended their day in fear and intimidation. Now let me ask you, if you've ever been there before, you've got a giant in your life and you don't want to face it. You ever been there? You begin and end your day in fear and intimidation. The army kept putting it off, and the more they delayed, the more intimidated they got. The more intimidated they got, the more impossible and hopeless their situation became. It's the same thing when we battle our giants. The more we delay in battling the giant, the more intimidating and hopeless the problem becomes, and the harder it is to handle later. Notice again what David did. He shows up on day 41. He sees the giant. He hears the taunt. And he says, "I've had enough. This guy's got to go." Now I realize it's difficult to face a giant in your life. David kind of made it look easy here, but I can't think it was very easy at all for him to enter into that valley. For him to do that, the second key for David and for us is that we must overcome our fear. When facing a giant, fear is a legitimate emotion to have. Now, I can't stress that enough. The fact that there will be times in our lives when we will be afraid. David was facing someone a lot bigger and a lot stronger than he was. And I can't help but think, though, he had faith in the Lord and he wasn't intimidated. He was maybe a little bit afraid. I mean, think about that. He's going down to the valley and he goes down. Goliath seems to get bigger and bigger. I mean, he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. The problem with fear is when you let it keep you from doing what God wants you to do. David didn't do that. The Israelite army did do that. They were paralyzed by fear. They allowed their fear of Goliath to stop them from doing what was right, as they were consumed with what I believe are the two words that give fear its power. And those two words are, what if? You ever said that before? What if? When I'm counseling people, I usually try to tell them, don't think about the what if, think about the what is. And we're going to talk about the what is in David's life in just a moment. But I'm sure the Israelites were thinking, well, what if Goliath wins? What if our nation becomes slaves? What if they take our land? What if? What if? Has that ever happened to you? Has fear kept you from doing something that was right? Some people don't share their faith in Jesus because they're afraid of rejection. Some people refuse to break off a relationship that they know is bad for them because they're afraid of being alone. Some people never give back to God 10% of their resources or never take on a new ministry for the Lord because they're afraid of the cost. Others never try the thing that God wants them to do because they're afraid of failure. Fear can be very crippling, but it doesn't have to be. David understood what the Lord was teaching Joshua when he was about to take over for Moses as the leader of the Israelite nation. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that today? Because it's true for you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, before I move on from here, let me say this. You can be afraid and still be courageous. That sounds like double talk, but it's not. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is trusting in God and facing your giants, even though you are still afraid. You've got someone with you that's going to help you overcome that. To defeat our giants, we, like David, must overcome our fear. Third key, we must not listen to the naysayers. A naysayer is someone who's just trying to obstruct you from doing action that you know you need to do. Many times, once we get past the fear factor, we face the naysayer factor. And David had naysayers coming at him. We already read about what his older brother said, embarrassing him, wanting to know why in the world he was even there. Now I want you to check out what King Saul said to David after David told Saul, I'll fight this guy. Verse 33 says this, but Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him, for you are only a youth, while he has been a warrior since his youth. Now, what Saul was saying here was understandably so. When you decide to take on a giant, there are going to be people who want to see you fail. There are going to be people who want to see you fall flat on your face, people who want things to stay just as they are. Some of you may be shaking your heads right now because you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you take a stand and say, I'm done with those behaviors that dishonor God, there will be people who will try to pull you back in to those behaviors that you know do not meet with God's approval. When you decide to go on a mission trip, there will be people in your life who may think it's a waste of time and money. When you decide to do something significant for God, there will be people, maybe even close friends or family members, who will act out of love, and I don't discount that, but they'll say things like, you don't want to take on a project that big, you're setting yourself up for failure. Well, I just don't want to see you get hurt. Or maybe you should rethink that. King Saul took a look at David, didn't think he had a chance against Goliath. And that's because we humans only see the external. But we can't see the heart like God can. David did not listen to the doubts of his brother or his king. Instead, in verses 34 through 37, David described how God had proven himself faithful in the past, that he had given him victory over a lion and a bear. So if I can defeat a lion and a bear, I can defeat this giant. That's what David was saying. No matter how big the enemy might be, David knew that God is bigger and he is all powerful. So if we want to step into the valley, if we want to defeat our giant, if we want to live a better life, we can't listen to the naysayers. Fourth key in fighting our giant is this: we must visualize the reward. Now, there are a couple of interesting stories in this story of David and Goliath. And one of them is found in verses 25 and 26. Now, to be honest, I've never heard these verses mentioned in a sermon or a lesson. My guess as to why is because we as Christians, we want to spiritualize everything. For example, we know that David took on Goliath because of his faith in God. We know that. That's true. So at least in our minds, we think it will taint the story if there's an additional reason for going into the valley. So let me summarize verses 25 and 26. David asked a question. Hey, what does the guy get who kills this giant? Because Saul had given some incentive. So he's told, well, he gets a whole lot of cash, he gets the princess, but most importantly of all, he's exempted from taxes the rest of his life. That's what those verses say. So while David went to face Goliath, armed with a great faith in God, he also went down thinking about a reward. Man, get some money, get the princess, become the king's son-in-law, and pay no taxes anymore. Not bad, right? To defeat our giants, we must visualize the rewards of victory. But I don't want you to visualize any physical rewards. I want you to realize this. Think about this. Can you picture what would happen in your life, what your relationships might look like, who you would become, where you would go, what you would do, how you would feel, what peace you would experience if the giant you're facing in your life is all of a sudden gone? Can you picture that? Can you picture that reward? And never forget that the greatest reward is that which we cannot earn. The Bible says when we are faithful unto death, we receive the crown of life and we spend eternity with our Lord. Never forget that reward. One final key that will help us defeat our giants: we must keep our confidence anchored in God. So David goes on. He fights Goliath. He's insulted, Goliath is. He sees this young guy coming down. He says, wait a minute. This is who you're sending to fight me? So he starts to intimidate David. He says, come on down here, little boy. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals. That's what Goliath says to David. So David does some trash talking of his own. Let's pick it up, verse 45. But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a sable, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand me over to you, and I will strike you and remove your head from you. Then I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us. Now let me give you a summary of the battle. Goliath and David run towards each other. David simply pulls out a sling, puts a stone in it, and he hurls it at Goliath. The stone sank in, Goliath stumbled, fell face down on the ground. Picking up in verse 50, the Bible says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and finished him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And then verse 54 says, David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. David's faith was in God, wasn't in the armor, wasn't in his army, wasn't in his own ability. David headed down that hillside with the confidence that God was going with him, confident that hiding up in the hills in fear was not the plan God had for his people. To David, what really mattered was not the size of his giant, but the size of his God. I don't know what giants you are facing in your life, but what I do know is that you will never step into the valley and face them if your God is too small. I want to end in this way. I like what author and preacher A.W. Tozer said about this subject. He wrote, and I quote, "Christianity at any given time is strong or weak, depending upon her concept of God. The basic trouble with the church today is her unworthy concept of God. Our faith is little because our God is little," unquote. So why was David different? One thing David did was fix his eyes not on the giant, but on his God. David understood and believed this one truth, which he said when he was speaking to Goliath. The battle is the Lord's. I don't know what your intimidating giant is today. Maybe it relates to your job, your family, your friends. Something going on in your life like an unemployment lawsuit disaster. But what God is saying to us right now is this. All I ask of you is 5 smooth stones and a sling of faith. I'll take it from there. Just trust me. I will accomplish the victory and I will receive the glory. That's what God says to us when we face our giants. God can help us be giant slayers, just like David. But the question is, will you step out in faith like he did?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.